It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another Wealth Architect Podcast in the new era of AI. This is exciting. Our guest today is a strategy mentor and a business exit planner at Acquisitions for You with the number four. He helps founder-led businesses increase enterprise value, prepare for smarter exits, and structure outcomes so owners can keep more of what they've built. He brings a practical sell-side perspective on what buyers actually pay for, where founders often lose value, and how business owners can build more transferable, valuable companies before a sale, before recapitalization, or succession is on the table. He's also the author of The Secrets of the AI-Powered Exit, and that's where he explores how founders can use AI, value creation, and smarter exit planning to build a more buyer-ready business before they sell. Let's welcome our guest today, Mark Adams. Mark, welcome to the show.
Mark, thank you so much for having me. And I better live up to that billing. That's a great intro. Thank you very much, my friend.
Great to have you here. And before we started the recording, let's address the elephant in the room that we talked about. And that is that left eye that you got going on. Why don't you tell us what's going on there?
Yeah, so it looks like I've been 8 to 10 rounds with Mike Tyson. And actually... You know, although I want to say you should have seen the other guy, the reality is I'm on a boat on holiday with my son at the moment. And in my cabin, there's a hatch above my head. And I thought 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll just close the hatch and I can reach it and pull it down. So I just sleepily reached to pull it down. But there's a mosquito net in the way and I just lodged it. And on the back of the mosquito net, there's a piece of cord with a little wooden stopper and it zips across and it caught me on the corner of the eye. So by the morning, this thing had swollen up to the size of a tennis ball and I couldn't even open the eye. By the evening, I could start to open it. I'm now on day three and it just looks a mess. So, yeah, I haven't been in any trouble. I haven't been in any fights. It's a really boring story. I'm sorry for anybody that's watching this, that they're seeing that. But probably they'll remember it as the guy with half of his face, which is black and red or black and blue, and the other half, which is normal.
Well, you look fine to me. You know, you're rough and rugged and on the boat, so that's kind of to be expected. Listen, thanks for joining us today. Let's talk about AI. This is my big thing. I do some stuff in investing called the Cash Flow Machine, and I do some stuff called the AI Blind Spot on AI. So I'm excited to kind of put a few things together here today and really talk about how AI and business can work together. I know you're kind of an expert in that. So let's get into that. But before we do, why don't you tell us how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, I'll try. So if I take you back to 2020, and I don't want to remind people of this, but it's part of how we got to where we are now. We were coming into that pandemic era when everybody was in lockdown, and all of us were in lockdown at home, seeing all those horrible stats of how many new infections by league table, by country around the world, and how many deaths. That was 2020. Towards the end of 2020, in the UK, where I was in the US, but my wife called me and said, you need to come home. So I got home, and then that was lockdown for the rest of the year. And towards the end of 2020, in the UK, we were allowed to go out in little groups of four. And I went out just to get a medical because I've got private healthcare in the UK, and they weren't affected or by the COVID hospitals and hospitalizations. And the net of that is I went in to get some tests, but I came out with a stage 4 cancer diagnosis and given only 6 months to live.
Wow.
Which is a bit of a bummer. We're now 5 years on and I've gone through remission and I've made it. But the only options open to me at the time were do nothing, which because I wouldn't be here, have it removed. There was no guarantee I'd get any extra days. But when you're faced with that, you do anything to get one more day with your kids. You just basically, you know, to be with your family for a bit of extra time, you give anything for it. So I went in for the op in January 2021. But while I was there, I got the original strain of COVID pre-vaccine. So I now got that to deal with as well as major surgery. And so going through that, day 5 or day 6, if you remember, was around the time that you were going to figure out whether it was left or right, because they were the worst days, and as was the case for me. And I got a lucky break. A friend of mine called me on a deal that we were trying to do on the West Coast. Her name was Angela. She said, you know, you sound rough. I hadn't even told her that I was going into hospital. And so she said, I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to send you something. She sent me a doc from a a staff nurse, a friend of hers in the Los Angeles General. And she'd written this document on what you do with COVID patients. You don't lay them down, you sit them up. You've got 20% more lung capacity if you do. You don't let them hang around, you get them to do some exercise if they can, because that's better for them. And you, there's something else you get them to do. Oh, you get them, when they're sitting up, they can drain their lungs and all that stuff that used to get stuck with people laying down, you can then breathe in three times and hold it for three to five seconds and then expel it really hard and get it out, keep your lungs clear. And as soon as I did that, my SATs went from 88 to 95 because I was it was at my worst point and it came at the right time. And then following that, I'd been in conversations with my son every day. He was 10. He's now 15. He's here with me on the boat. And when that call came in and we were talking about a deal, we'd been talking about Xbox all week. Pretty apparent to him that I wasn't much good at Xbox. So he switched it and said, who was that? What was it about? And I was just saying, it's just one of those companies that we want to buy. But unfortunately, like nine out of 10 of them, just what the owner needs to get for the business and what we can afford to give to it, it's just too far apart. We're not going to be able to do it. Now, he's not money motivated. And all he wanted to know was, well, if you don't buy it, what happens to the mums and dads of these companies if they get COVID and they die? Who looks after their families, Dad? Because he's seeing the same news reports, Mark, that you and I are seeing every day. Because, yeah, you know, it wasn't filtered that kids don't watch this. They were all getting it. And that made me stop and think. And I had no answer for it. But to be fair, I was focused on the cancer and the COVID at the time. Roll forward 3 months. I went in to see my consultant because it's 9 weeks after surgery that they give you an outcome of where you are. And so he said, the good news is, we said, do you want the good news or the bad news, Mark? And I said, and funnily, his name was Mark. This is going to be great, Mark, because he's got three marks in this call, in this conversation now. So I said to him, well, give me the good news. He says, we can't find any sign of the cancer. My first question was, are you sure I had it? Which he was ready for because he gave me the pathology report that clearly showed advanced stage four. And I said, well, what's the bad news? He said, we've got no idea why, which clearly wasn't bad news for me. It was just bad news for his ego and pride. So, but they think that having COVID forced my immune system into overdrive and cleared out the cancer because it's very good at dealing with all sorts of things, including some forms of cancer, but they can't prove it. I'm not exactly willing to go back and have the cancer put in and get COVID again to test it. But there's been other publications that have come around that were coming up at that time where 7, 8, 9 cases like mine came up around the world. And that's what they were referring to. So I'm incredibly lucky and I consider it a miracle that I'm even here on the show talking to you today. Roll forward from there. I then had to make good on a promise. And I did that by writing my first book, The Secrets to 10Xing Your Business and Cashing Out Tax-Free, in the hope that business owners could see things that they could do to self-improve, because I was never going to reach them all. That eventually became a bestseller and got featured at Times Square. And then my second book, which came out last week, has already gone to number one in private equity, finance, mergers and acquisitions, evaluation, which is a development of where we started. Because what happened after the book was I got invited onto a podcast. Now I try to do as many podcasts as I can, but this one was just an invitation from somebody that noticed. That got me on some stages. That led to somebody asking me or telling me that they, after I'd spoken, that they'd like to help. That introduced me to not one, but two family offices who immediately got behind me because of the story and what we were trying to do. That's also led to private credit and acquisition finance. So now we're blessed with a syndicated 20 plus billion of funding to help us in our endeavors of the only kind of funding for what we're doing, what we're trying to help with anywhere in the world that we know of, which is, if you come all the way to the book and your intro on the AI side, it's how can we double the value of a company in 6 months without an owner taking any equity dilution, having any debt service because they didn't act because through borrowing money, or having to sign any PGs and risk some of their personal assets. So we've developed a way of doing that so that they can keep more of what's theirs. And if we can, we can't always do this, and it is very individual, we could also structure it so instead of losing between 30 and 50% of the sale price in fees and taxes, they probably get to keep as much as 90 in some cases, not all cases, but they're keeping a hell of a lot more through this double and exit framework that we've developed, that the funding that we have supports. Now to link that back, that's how we got to where we are now. That's a whistle-stop tour of 5 or 6 years. So we're really trying to help those companies doing anywhere from 100K in EBITDA, but it's normally 500K, up to as much as 20 million. We've got clients that are much bigger than that, but it's harder for us to double it when it's north of 20 million. So we've got other things that we offer those clients. But anybody can do this themselves. They, if they if they think about some of the things. So coming back to AI, the big summary I would say on AI is most business owners I talk to today are aware of it. They're frightened of it. They're not doing much with it. They don't know what to do about it. They're looking for help to understand it. Point number one.
That's
point
right.
Number two, most people are very fearful that it's going to replace them and they're going to lose their jobs. Now, there is going to be a lot of change in the labor market. Change. That doesn't mean loss. There will be some job losses, but that's an opportunity to reskin, retool, and go again.
Sure.
The big thing I like to say about AI is you've got to remember that it's never actually lived a single day in its life, Mark. And because it hasn't lived a single day in its life, it doesn't have a black eye like I've got. It doesn't have the years of experience that I have or that you've got. But combined, people's experience with AI, the two hand in hand, once you learn how to drive it and use it, become incredibly powerful assets. So the whole thing about AI within the book is not to preach, say, do this, do this, do this, although I put an awful lot of prompts in there to get people started and a lot of free resources that people can use to also value their business and find out what they're going to keep and how to mitigate that risk if they want to. But it's to wake people up to the partnership that AI offers you. Yes, it's going to help you redeploy labor to more valuable, productive tasks, and you will, in many instances, reduce the amount of labor. That's for sure. That improves your bottom line, and that does a lot to improve your EBITDA, your valuation, and the value of the company accordingly. But to pick one size fits all for any industry is wrong, because there isn't a one size fits all for any industry. There's an approach that I like to talk to people about, which is get familiar with it, get somebody on the team that's familiar with it, and then lend your experience to that so that you can start developing at speed all the advantages of AI. And here's the other reason why it's critically important. Many investors, us included, are looking at businesses now and discounting the value if they're not AI. But if they're not taking the steps towards AI already, we're discounting that, because more valuable businesses, more streamlined businesses are potentially embracing AI and running full speed towards it, because they're the ones that are more likely to win, and the ones that don't are going to be left behind. And that means the potential of loss of market share, loss of customers, loss of value, loss of profit. So I'd summarize that whole AI piece in the book to say, get amongst it, embrace it, don't be frightened of it. It isn't going to bite you. It's only going to help you. There are some industries that are relatively AI agnostic. This doesn't apply to them. But there are more that are going to be impacted by AI in a positive way than not. Whether you like AI or not, it's here to stay. So it's like the internet, and it's like websites. They were slow coming in, and then, you know, these days, if you haven't got a website, you're not even considered to be a proper company. So, and that landscape's all changing as well. Don't get me started on that. But so the AI thing, I think, is really, really important, but it's one element. I think the other thing that people will challenge me on is, so you say that you can double the value of a business in 6 months or less, and I don't have to give up any equity. I don't have to borrow any money from the bank and debt service or sign any PGs. That's just unbelievable. That offer's so good, it sounds like it's a scam. And that's how it comes across to people. But for those people that want to explore a little bit more about how that works, is we're able to use our capital to build a bigger group. And so we'll build a bigger group by acquiring those companies. And those acquired companies give the value of a much higher EBITDA. There are some things that you need, you know, they need to be decent companies, of course. That's how we are making this work very, very quickly. There are some other things in there that are a bit secret sauce that I probably shouldn't disclose on the call. But the essence of it is we're using the capital to build the businesses, but we're giving more back to the owners of those businesses than traditionally you'd see in private equity. Because for 40 years, private equity is built. It's bought more and bolted on. It's improved. It's made it operationally efficient. And then it's sold to a buyer and kept all of those profits for its investors. We've just found a different way to do it, where the investor cash is safe, where the returns are delivered to them much more quickly. I'm not going to say guaranteed, but they are much easier to see how I don't want to use the word guaranteed, but I don't know what word to put in place. But the investor returns are fast and much safer. A lot of private equity things can go north and be fabulous, but they can go south as well. We've shortcut the time it takes from somewhere between 5 and 8 years or 5 and 9 years to somewhere between 6 and 18 months. Wow, that was a big answer to a short question, Mark.
Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've obviously thought it out or at least been through something. And like you say, AI is experience. AI and experience can give you a partnership. Now, let me just ask the next question. That is, maybe you can take us through the process of when you get somebody new that wants to kind of use what you what your expertise is. What do you do? How do you frame it? How do you set up the outcome? You know, what happens? What are some of the process steps?
Yeah. So I think of three core things. One is how do you double the value of a business, irrespective of whether I'm involved, number one. Number two is how do you improve efficiencies of a business? And then number three is how can you exit the business and keep more? Those three things. Let's deal with the middle one first because we do less of that. So the middle one is where traditional exit planning will come and help you improve efficiency, systems, processes, procedures. So effectively, you're a business that runs independently of the owner. You've got a good second tier team in play. It's got a high, what I call transfer of value to a potential new buyer, less risk, because obviously when you sell a business, if it's a one man band with no systems and processes, it's going to be incredibly difficult to sell anyway.
Sure.
And there's more risk to the buyer that you're going to walk out of the door the following day because you've got the cash. So that's the middle piece. Most people understand that. What they don't understand is the double in the value in the front end. So we spoke about that a little bit. What we do on the front end is we have access to capital that supports us uniquely with this thesis. And so we'll use that to take not one HVAC company or roofing company or company in any niche, but we'll look and acquire seven or eight of them together. The reason that we do that is imagine that a company's doing $500,000 in profit. In this conversation, I want you to believe that that $500,000 in profit means that they're going to be worth somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million.
Okay.
You might argue, Mark, that they're worth $1.5 million. And in some sectors, you'd be right. But for this example, it doesn't really matter. They're not worth enough is the key, because if they were worth $1 million and you sold, you're going to lose 30 to 50% of the sticker price in the fees and taxes that you need to pay. So you'll net somewhere between $700 and $500 in your bank. And that's what matters. So how do we make that more valuable? Well, if you've got one of those roofing companies at $500,000, imagine that I had 10 of them. Now I've got an aggregated $5 million of EBITDA. $5 million of EBITDA is probably worth $20 to $25 million. Now, you can argue with me, Mark, I think it's worth $30 million. Okay, I'll take the worst case scenario. So let's imagine I've got 10 of those at $25 million. Now, at that $25 million in value, divided by 10, they're getting $2.5 million each.
Sure.
Just to remind you, they were worth $500,000 before. Or when you twisted my arm to breaking point, I agreed $1 million. They're still getting $1.5 million more. They can do that themselves if they've got the cash to do it. But the old way of doing it is they go and borrow the cash, which the bank will lend them, but they've got to put the house up as collateral if something goes wrong. Or they can bring in private equity. So what happens is private equity say yes, and they'll dilute them by 50%. So they were worth $500,000. Now they're worth $250,000. To be fair, private equity is not going to go as low as $500,000 on an individual company. So we're actually playing in a space where private equity is not going to touch it anyway. But if they did, you'd go down to your stake being worth $250,000, which means you've got to 4X that business now to get back to the point where you doubled where you were to start with. Let me just run that again. There's a lot of numbers in there. You're worth $500,000 and you bring in private equity, your stake goes down to $250,000. So if you double the business from there, it goes back to you being worth $500,000 and private equity's got $500,000. So for you to go forward and you double again, now you're worth $1 million and private equity's worth $1 million, $2 million in total. So you've got to go 4X to get back to a double that you had. So that's not attractive. or you added, so and you've got to sell the PGs away, or you're borrowing money from a bank, which means you're repaying a loan, which reduces the capital that you've got for the profits that you've made to reinvest in buying other companies. So you can do that. It does work. That's just a way. That's a seven-year path. So what we're doing is saying, right, we've got the capital for qualifying businesses. We will use the capital to build the group only if we've got a buyer in the wings that's willing to buy the group. So we'll acquire it and sell it effectively, if we can, the following day. It's always longer than the following day. But the owners don't get any equity dilution. They don't service any debt. They don't do any PGs. So they keep all of it. But and we've lifted the value in the example numbers. You can play with any numbers you like and call them. They were worth 500 to a million. Now they're worth 2.5 million. So they got an extra 1.5 to 2 million because of the way we're doing it. This is the new way. So off that lift, we will charge some fees. But they've made so much more money without taking any risk that in every single case, they're happy with that. But there are some things we've got to make sure that we, if we're going to apply the capital, my investors require me to make sure that we've got an exit. Not that we're going to be left holding it for 7 years because they're not happy with that.
Yeah, right, right.
And so that's the new way. So that opens up so many possibilities. And so when I explain it to business owners, they go, okay. But when I just say we'll double the value and we'll position you to keep more of it, it sounds like a scam. But it's not. It's just never been done. And we took a long time to raise finance for it. It all came from the comments of a 10-year-old boy. What are you going to do to look after the 9 out of 10 that can't get sold if they get COVID? So we didn't talk about the third piece. So we talked about the doubling on the front. We talked about the middle piece of bringing in a SEPA qualified person or somebody that you know that can help structure that business to be as efficient as it's going to be. But what about when you sell it? You're going to lose 30 to 50%. Now, this is not guaranteed, but in some cases, we can help structure the business in such a way that the amount of money that you give up in taxes and fees may go down to as little as 10%. So if we got to that 2.5 million example, let's use my numbers. These are easier. So a business that's worth 5 million that doesn't do anything, Mark, walks away with 3 in the bank. Right. That's frankly a really poor return.
Yeah.
But that's the way it's always been done. No one ever challenges it. It's just the way it's done. We're challenging that. What we're saying is, why don't we double it to 10 using the methodology that I shared with you earlier? Now, how do we keep most of it? So if we can look at the business and structure it in such a way that you could keep 90% of it, in other words, your taxes and fees get reduced to 10%, then you're going to keep as much as 9. So you've gone from a net 3, because you didn't do anything, to as much as 9. The reality is there'll be some fees that we will want from that, so you won't get as much as 9, but you're going to get at least double. And that's a great result for people. So we could do in 6 to 18 months what they've been trying to do for 30 years. They could do it themselves. The path is go and raise the cash, borrow the money or give away equity, take 5 to 7 years to do it, and then package it to sell. The way we're doing it is different. And there are some nuances that I want to keep to myself so that all the investors out there don't try and compete with me. It just works. It makes a lot of sense. And business owners are working with us now.
Yeah, sorry about that. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah, so it's not just for people that are looking to sell up and retire. But increasingly, a large part of the portfolio that we're working with now is they've already got a business. They already own a couple of HVAC companies or gyms or hotels. Now we're looking at those platforms to use the equity to acquire the other businesses around it and then sell them, because we can get them there a lot faster because I'm matching buyers and sellers before I start.
How does AI play a role in what you're talking about? Because we started with a discussion of AI, then we strictly went to a discussion of valuation and business augmentation value. How does AI play a role in that? Or is that a separate silo?
No. It's a very important part of the middle silo. It actually plays a role everywhere. We use AI in our business at the front end to understand what our multipliers are going to be, who our buyers are going to be, who our sell side company is going to be. So we do with AI in seconds what used to take weeks and months, number one. But for the client, for the customer, they can use AI in the middle piece. It's worthwhile them looking at every single part of their business: sales, marketing, finance, operations, customer service, all of it, and starting to consider how they could deploy AI-based agents to help them move faster and do more at a fraction of the cost. It is not uncommon these days to see companies fully deployed with AI, although they're never fully deployed, but they've done so much with AI that their cost base has come down to somewhere between $450 and $1,000 a month because AI is doing the workload, which means the staff they've got can be redeployed. It does mean that some staff are going to be let go. But when you're looking to try and maximize the value of a business to maximize the EBITDA, as I said a little bit earlier, if you are not doing this, the competition is, you will be considered less valuable because your cost base will be higher and overlooked.
Sure.
So that piece in the middle is huge. Now, on the back end of it, we've built complete tax engines based on expertise and know-how from qualified tax specialists and accountants and AI to assess in 5 minutes if you were selling your company, Mark, and I gave you a link, which is in the book. You can use the link whenever you want to. Go in and fill in the answers. Well, just answer 10 or 11 questions in about 4 minutes. It will tell you immediately what the value of your business is likely to be, what your tax position and your fee leakage position is going to be if you were to sell the business, and whether the juice is worth the squeeze for you to consider alternatives and roughly what you might save if you did. Now, that's an important piece because that piece of it does involve some cost, because we can suggest and give you the guidance and show you what you can do, but you have to have a CPA qualified or an attorney qualified to actually implement that. We can't do that piece. We're not licensed, neither one of them. But what I'm finding there is we're making those guys honest, because when you walk in the door of those guys right now and say, well, I need to do this, one of my clients was due to come into an awful lot of money, of which they were going to lose a big chunk of it in the taxes. They spent 11 months working with a professional to structure their affairs so that they could bring that cost down. What I didn't know when they came to me was that exercise they'd spent $100,000 on, taken 11 months. Unfortunately, that person had passed on to the next life. So they asked me the same question in 3 days. We'd gone through everything to give them the same answer. I said, why did he come to me? So we've got to go and get other advisors. And what you've given me in 3 days, we spent 11 months and $100,000 buying, and we did it for them for free. But shame on me, but we were testing the tools at the time. And so we know they're rock solid. So what we're doing is making those guys honest, because you go in with the strategy, put it forward as a suggestion of what you want to do. They're then going to take that and run with it, which means your fee that you're going to spend with them is going to be a lot less. They're still going to earn their money because they've got to structure this with whatever you decide to choose in the end. They need to validate it as well. So, you know, it's not always going to be right or the best solution for you, but often your advisors know you quite well. If you don't have advisors, we've got them. We can introduce you to them. We don't charge for that. You can just talk to our advisors and they can help you out. They'll charge you, not us. So that's the third piece. So you've got AI on the front end, which is us to use. Clients wouldn't use that. You've got AI in the middle, which is huge because it adds so much value back to your business, which you can use to the bottom line on EBITDA, or you can reinvest for growth. And then on the way out with stuff that owners don't think about. Most owners have got no idea how much they're going to lose in fees and taxes. They just accept that's what it's going to be. They don't challenge it. I like to call it a paper wall. So if it's a brick wall, you push it, it's not going to go anywhere. But what I found in being challenged by my son, as I've pushed this brick wall to find it's a paper wall, there are other ways of doing it. And now I'm on a mission to change the way the companies are bought and sold and valued all over the world so that owners keep more of what they spent 20 or 30 years building. And all those best friends who are very important, tax man needs to be paid, the CPA needs to be paid, the attorneys need to be paid, but they will turn up in the 6 months before you're thinking about doing something and become your best friends to take a third of it or up to 50% of it. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. There's a better way of doing it.
Let's in our remaining moments, I know you have a book out that I want you to be able to talk about, or at least tell people how they can get a hold of you, how they can get your book, read it, decide if they want to work with you.
So I'm very proud to tell you that the book is available in Barnes & Noble if people want to pop in and get it. I think they might have to order it and go and pick it up, or you can get it on Amazon. Okay. It's not live on it's live on Kindle. It's not live on Audible yet, but it will be. I'm waiting for them to approve it, and I've narrated it myself.
Cool. A lot of work.
You got a horrible British accent don't mind listening to that. In the book is all the details on how to reach me. So the website's there, the link to doing your own tax assessment and what your business is worth and what you might lose in fees and taxes is there. There's other resources there. There's a whole bunch of prompts at the back of the book in the appendices that you can just – start your journey with, or just refer to and see if any of them are any good. It's doing my homework. And then there's, I wouldn't say that all chapters of the book are applicable to all people. I would say that two or three chapters of this book are going to be gold to most people. And then the others they might be doing something with, which is great. If you combine it with the first book, which does a lot on social media, Facebook and everything else, that is even more important from a personal branding point of view these days for many owners. But there are always going to be some owners that just don't want to do that. They don't want to be in front of a camera and stuff like that. Something I've had to get to grips with. And when my black eye is fully recovered, I'm going to be in front of that camera. Yeah, but so if you go to Amazon, you can grab it. It's, yeah, it's how to get hold of me and is all in the book, which I didn't do in the first book because I didn't have a clue. But so many people wanted to reach out and ask me questions and I made it hard for them that I just put all that in the book and it's in every single chapter. So you go to the front of any chapter, I'm all over it.
The title of the book one more time, just for everybody in case they're driving.
Secrets to the AI-powered exit.
Perfect. Listen, thank you for your time, your wisdom. That was a unique approach on business valuation, the integration of AI, and how important it is going forward. So thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute joy and a privilege. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. And everybody else who's listening and watching, remember what I will always say, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. See you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.